Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. We know Chazal tell us that when the month of Adar comes in, we are Marbin Besimcha. We have much more Simcha than the rest of the year. And yet this year, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, we had a tremendous tragedy in Yeshivas Merkas Harav in Eretz Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael suffered the loss of 8 Kedoshim, 8 Korbanos. And immediately, everyone has the question, if there would be one day of the year where you would not expect such a tragedy, it would be Mishenichnas Adar on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and yet we had that tragedy. Laihudim haisa oira v'simcha v'sasim v'kor. In the Megillah, we read that on Purim, we have all these types of joyous experiences, light and joyfulness, preciousness. And yet, right after Purim, Klal Yisrael all over the world suffered different tragedies. In England, one of the greatest balitstoke in the world today, Rabbi Benzion Dunner, a young man, 45 years old, was in a car accident, perished. Here in New York, Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum, Zichron Levrach, who did a tremendous amount in Harbatzis HaTorah, one of the biggest Marbitze Torah of our generation, inventing the concept of Dailaduff and Dailashir, also suddenly taken away. And just a few days ago, the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Smir, one of the Rosh Yeshivas, Rav Finkel, at 60 years old, passed away. So these events conjure up in our minds questions. And the main question that we have to answer in this year is, what is the Torah Jew's approach to tragedy? And that's the subject of what Rav Schlesinger spoke about in last week's shir. So if you remember, last week was Parshas Porah, and it followed Purim. And Rav Schlesinger pointed out there are three connections. There's maybe more, but at least three connections between Purim and Parshas Porah that followed Purim. One connection is that the singular of Purim. Purim means lots, lotteries. The singular of Purim is pur, a lot. Pei vav resh. And Parshas Parah, the Parah Aduma, the story of the red cow, is pei resh hei. So there you're off by one. We have a rule in Gematria that you can be kolel the word itself. The word counts as one. So here you have Pur, the numerical value is 286. You have Parah, Pei Reshe, 285, counting the word, you have 286. They're one off. So immediately we see there must be a connection between Purim, Pur and Parah. Second connection, the Yerushalmi tells us, Ein mafsikin ben Purim leParah. There is no... This is a rule, like every rule has one exception. This rule also has an exception. But except for that one exception, there is never a hefsik. There is never a Shabbos that comes in between Purim and Parshas Parah. Even this year, when we had Shushan Purim was on Shabbos, if you remember, Purim was on Friday. So one would ask the question that there was a Shabbos in between, because you had Purim on Friday, then you had Shabbos, and the next week was Parshas Parah. So there was a Shabbos in between. However, Rashi in Masechta Megillah tells us that we don't go necessarily after Purim, which we keep on the 14th, but we go after Purim, which is kept in every city that had a wall around it from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, because that is like Shushan Habira. And in Shushan Habira, Purim was on the 15th of Adar, not the 14th of Adar. Yerushalayim in the Old City, this year they had Purim spread out over 3 days, called Purim Mishulish. So they had Purim, they said, Ala Nisim, they said, on Tezvav Adar, which was on Shabbos. So if we go with the Purim of Yerushalayim, then in fact, there was no Shabbos that was in between their Purim and Parshas Purim. The one exception is when Purim comes out on Thursday. Because if Purim comes out on Thursday, then Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes out on Shabbos. That's when we read Parshas HaChodesh. And the week before is Parshas Para. The week before that is the 16th of Adar. And then you'll have one Shabbos in between. Now, it's Purim will be on, our Purim will be on Thursday. Then you'll have Shushan Purim on Friday. And Tezayin, the 16th day of Adar, will be Shabbos. There will, and the next week will be Parshas Purim. That's the only exception. But again, what do we see? The general rule is there's never a Shabbos that separates Purim and Parshas Purim. There's a connection. And finally, the third connection is a very interesting din. They used to bring the Pora Aduma, the red cow that was not allowed to have any black hairs on it, was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Why was it brought to the Beis HaMikdash? That's where the Sanhedrin was. And the Sanhedrin would check if, in fact, this red cow is all red or not. And then when they said, yes, it's good, you can use it for the purpose of the Paraduma was the ashes of the Paraduma was mixed with water, and it was sprinkled on anyone who was Tamei from a mace who had become defiled because he came into contact with someone who passed away. And when they took, it says when they took the Paraduma out, it went through one of the five gates that was on the Temple Mount, the Har Habayis, the eastern gate, and that gate had on top a picture. It was carved into the stone. This was in the time of the Second Temple by Sheni. It had a picture of Shushan Abira. The simple understanding is, why did it have a picture of Shushan Abira there, the capital city of Persia? Because at the beginning of Bayi Sheni, they were under the domain of the Persians. So as respect, they had fear for the government. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they put up this picture of Shushan Abira. But others explain that the reason they had Shushan Abira was to remember the Ness of Purim. So here again, the Pora Aduma is leaving the Beis HaMikdash. And where is it going through? It's going through the gate that had Shushan Abira, which to remember the Ness of Purim. So again, what do we see? A connection between Purim and Parshas Purim. So we have to understand what exactly is that connection. What unites, what connects Purim and Parshas Purim together? Because we have three connections. Pur and Parah, it's off by one. We have the connection that there's never a Shabbos in between Purim and Parshas Purim. And then finally, that the Pora Aduma was taken out through the gate, which had on it a picture of Shushan Abir. What is the connection? The Yerushalmi tells us, Rav Levi b'shem Rav Chama bar Chanina says the following, that bedinhu shetagdem achodesh l'pora. Really, we have it that the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, or Shabbos if it comes out on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, is called Parshas HaChodesh. Before that comes Parshas Purim. The Yerushalmi says that really Parshas HaChodesh, which is in Bo, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, which speaks about that Nisan is the first of the new months of the year, really that took place chronologically before Parshas Purim. Why? Because Parshas HaChodesh, the Mishkan, was right now we are in the middle of the Yimei HaMiluyim on Chaf Gimel Ador. Today is Chaf Vav Ador, if I remember correctly. So starting Chaf Gimel Ador, 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, began the Yimei HaMiluyim, the days which consecrated the Mishkan in the Midbar. The eighth day was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Vayhi b'yom hashmini. Parsha Shmini begins. It was on the eighth day of these special 8 days to make holy the entire Mishkan. So on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the Mishkan went up. And on the second day of Nissan, they brought the first Parah Adumah. So chronologically, in time, which came first? The Chodesh Nissan came before Parah Adumah. Why do we read Parah Adumah before Rosh Chodesh Nissan? Answers the Yerushalmi, Shehi Taharasan Shokol Yisrael. Because Parah Adumah represents the purity, the tahara of the entire Jewish people. Rashi and Megillah explains, Sheyasu Pischeyem B'Tahara. They should make their Korban Pesach with tahara. The reason, you're right, chronologically what came first, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and then on Beis Nissan, the second day of Nissan, was Parah Adumah. But we want to remind all the Jews that when they're going to bring their Korban Pesach, they should bring it in purity. So that's why we read Parah Adumah before Parshas HaKodesh. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen asks a question that this answer is good at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But in our time, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then why don't we do it chronologically? We don't bring a Korban Pesach today. There's no Beis HaMikdash. So we should go back to the way it was originally, that first was Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and then was Beis Nissan Parah Adumah. And he's asked further that maybe we shouldn't read it at all. What's the purpose? Why do we read Parah Adumah? When Mashiach will come and we'll have to bring Korbanos, so somehow or other Mashiach will show us where the ashes of the Parah Adumah are. We will all become Tohar from, because we're all considered Tmei Mesim. We all came in contact with a mace, which makes us Tamei. And if we're impure, we're not allowed to bring the Korban Pesach. So he will show us the ashes of the Parah Adumah to make us Tohar. But right now, when there is no Korban Pesach, first of all, it's the wrong order. And second of all, why do we read it at all? What's the purpose? Now, it's interesting, or Schlesinger brought, why, in fact, when the Mishkan was erected, why was the Parah Adumah brought after Aleph Nissan? Why didn't they bring the Parah Adumah before the Mishkan was established and make everybody tar? So he brings a reason from which is as follows. It says concerning the Parah Adumah that it should be the ashes should be and the water should be sprinkled, the blood of the Parah Adumah should be sprinkled nochach Ohel Moed, facing the Ohel Moed. So this there's a sefer Pnei Moshe says that there wasn't, till the Mishkan was put up, there was no door of the Ohel Moed, and therefore they couldn't bring the Parah Adumah until the door went up, and then they would sprinkle the blood towards the door of the Ohel Moed. The Chasam Sofer does not like this answer. Why? Because, in fact, all the 7 days, or the 8 days, the Yemei HaMiluyim that we're talking about, every day there was a mitzvah to put up the door, take it down, put it up again next day. In fact, at the end of Parshas Tzav, it says in the Torah that Aaron and his children should sit 7 days at the door of the Ohel Moed. And they were commanded just to sit there. What exactly the purpose of their sitting there is, that we have to think about. But there was a mitzvah for them to not move from that door of the Ohel Moed. So we see there was a door of the Ohel Moed. So this doesn't answer the question. We should have brought the Parah Adumah before the Mishkan was put up. The Chasam Sofer wants to answer himself the following. That when Adam HaRishon sinned, what happened? Misa came into the world. When the Jews were mekabel the Torah at Har Sinai, it says all the tumah that they had from the sin of Adam HaRishon went away. And Misa went away. If we wouldn't have done the Chet HaEgel, we would have been on the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. Just like Adam HaRishon before he did the sin with the Eitz HaDaas, there was no Misa yet in the world. So too, by Har Sinai, there was no Tum anymore. The Yetzara went away from us, and there was no Misa. Misa, the Malchamavis, and the Satan, and the Yetzara is all one thing. So we went back to the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. No more Misa. But then we did the Chet HaEgel. Misa came back into the world. but it didn't yet start. What was the first recorded incident after the Chet HaEgel, after the sin of the golden calf? Who were the first people who died? The first people were Nadav Avihu, the sons of Aaron. When did they die? On the day when the Mishkan was finally put up. Aleph Nissan. That's Vayhi Bayom HaShemini. It was on the eighth day of the 8 days of Miluyim, of dedicating the Mishkan, and they did a chet, whatever their chet was. They died. Ah, they died. Now we need a paraduma to be matar. The paraduma is used to be matar from Misa. But before Nadav Avihu died, there was not, even though it was after the Chet HaEgel, if the Jews would not have sinned with the Egel, that we went back to the level of Adam Arishan before the sin, and there would be no Misa in the world. No Misa for Jews, I don't know. No Misa in the world. Then we did the Chet HaEgel, Misa came back in the world, but it didn't start yet. The first ones who got Misa after the Chet HaEgel was Nadav Avihu. So the whole purpose of Paraduma is to be Matar for Misa. There wasn't any Misa yet on the first day of Nissan. That was just the day that Nadav Avihu died. The next day, Beis Nissan, now we need the Paraduma to be Matar. So that explains why in the time of the Mishkan, the first was the Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the Mishkan was made, established, and then the next day was Paraduma. But again, we come back to our question today. Number one, why don't we go chronologically? Why do we read the Paraduma before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, before Parshas HaChodesh? Number two, what do we read it at all for? What's the purpose of it? There's no Korban Pesach. We don't have to become Torah to bring Korbanos. So why do we read the Parsha of Paraduma at all? The Haftorah of Parshas Paraduma has in it the Pasuk, V'zorakti Aleichem Mayim Tahorim. The question that Rav Tzadok HaKohen asks is when the Gemara mentions, the Gemara tells us what we read on Parsha Zachor for Daf Torah, what we read on Parsha Shkolim, and the Gemara always starts with the first pasuk of Daf Torah, which makes sense. You want to tell a person what to read, read over there this and this parak, which begins with the words, whatever the words are. Here is a strange thing. It doesn't tell you to begin with the first words. It tells you in the middle of the Torah, V'zorakti Alei, I will pour on you water of Tahara, of purity. Why do we start with that Pasuk in the middle? Why not with the first Pasuk? So Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that from here we see that the Chazal wanted to point out to us what is the main idea of Paraduma. We know a rule. Whenever we read a Haftorah, which comes from the Navi, it always is related to the Chumash. There was a time in the history of Klal Yisrael where a king made a rule. He wanted to stop the Jews from learning. So he said, you cannot read on the Parsha from the Sefer Torah. So what did Chazal do? They didn't want people to forget the Parsha. They would take something from the Haftorah that reminded them of the Parsha. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, this is the key pasuk. That's why Chazal went to the middle of the Torah to tell you. You know what the essence of the Paraduma is? The water. There are many parts to the Paraduma. It has to be a red cow. Can't have any black hairs. You have to put in a piece of a cedar tree and a hyssop. All kinds of things. Ashes of the Paraduma. But what's the main point of the Paraduma? That's the water. How do Chazal show us this? They say, read the pasuk of Zarakti Aleichem Mayim Tahorim. I will sprinkle on you waters of purity. We have to understand what is the message of these waters of purity. To get into answer all these various things, so there's a famous Rashi at the beginning of the Parsh of Paraduma, which is in Bamidbor and Parshas Chukas. Rashi says, "Lefisha Satan v'Umis Oyla Moinim Es Yisrael." The Satan and the nations of the world. The word Moinim means they vex. In Yiddish, the word is they chepa. They bother the Jewish people, and they say, "Ma haMitzvah Hazos Uma Tam Yeshba." What? I don't understand this whole thing with the Paraduma. Lechvika kosev b'chukah. That's why it says zoyz chukah satayra. A chukah means without logic. Gzeirahim ofonai. This is a a law from me, a decree, ve'ein lecha rishus lahar achareh. You cannot think about what the reason for this mitzvah is. We know that the paradum is a chol because it logically doesn't make sense. Why? Because it says the person who you sprinkle the ashes of the paraduma mixed with the water and the other things on, he becomes tohar. The one who's busy in preparing and carrying the ashes, he becomes tameh. Doesn't make sense. If I sprinkle on you and I make you tohar, so I myself should become tameh, it's not logical. So the sefer, Be'er Yosef, from someone I don't know who it is, but I found this sefer. I just happened to be in Lakewood, and I was in a shul that had the sefer, and I looked up this Dvar Torah. It's from somebody, Rav Salant. So he asked the following question. Is there a reason for a paraduma? Does it make sense logically? Yes, but we were not given that logic. Who was given it? Moshe Rabbeinu knew it. Rabbi Akiva, as we're going to learn, they knew what the reason was. So the question is, why did Hashem give us a mitzvah where there is a logic, but he didn't tell us the logic? What does he want with that? So here, now what I'm going to say now is the key of this entire shiur. Moshe Rabbeinu had, as Rav Schlesinger said, this is the oldest question. It seems Adam Arishan asked this question to Hashem also, and it's probably the most difficult question in theology, in Jewish philosophy, to answer. And according to one opinion in the Gemara, Hashem did not give Moshe an answer to this question. Moshe asked Hashem, why do you have tzaddik v'raloi and rasha v'toivloi? Why do you have a person, a tzaddik? Here you have, we mentioned, Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum, Rabbi Benzion Dunner, Rabbi Finkel, the eight kedoshim in Merkez Harav, tzaddikim, tzaddik v'raloi, and on the other hand, you have rasha v'toivloi, the rasha where everything is going good. So we are trained that we accept be'emuna whatever Hashem does, even though we have questions. 6 million kedoshim, we don't understand it. We have questions, we accept it. But where did Hashem give a person the power to withstand all these questions that he shouldn't have questions? So the answer is Hashem gave us the mitzvah of paraduma. In the mitzvah, there's a contradiction which makes it illogical. It doesn't make sense. The lashon of Chazal, which is similar to the way we have it in Rashi, but a little different, is the following. Chuko chokakti. I made a law, which doesn't make sense. Gzeira gazarti. I made a decree, Hashem says. Ein lecha rishus lahar achrav. You have no right to be mahar after, to think about it. So there's a number of questions here. Number one, what do you have to say twice? Chuka chokakti, gzeira gzarti. It sounds like the same thing. Second question is that the word gzeira gzarti really doesn't even fit in here. Gzeira gzarti is like on a decree. Rabbi Akiva, they combed his flesh. The great tzaddik Rabbi Akiva, who knew more, the Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, was in awe. He saw Rabbi Akiva, what he knew. He told Hashem, why don't you give the Torah through Rabbi Akiva? What are you giving it through me? There's things that Rabbi Akiva learned in the Torah that I never understood, and he knew it. So then he sees that Rabbi Akiva, the terrible, tragic end of Rabbi Akiva's life. So the Malachi Ashores asked Hashem, Zu Torah v'zu schara. This is the Torah and this is the reward. So on that goes a gzeira. There was a decree. Eight kedoshim. That was a gzeira. What does that have to do with paraduma? Paraduma is not a gzeira in that sense. It's a chukah. It's a chok. So why do we call it gzeira? And a third question is, why was the mitzvah of paraduma given to Lazar and not to Aaron? It says in the pasuk, "V'nasato isol Lazar akayin." Give it to a Lazar to kayin. Why not give it to Aaron? Aaron was alive at that time. So the answer to Sefer Be'er Yosef says, beautiful pshat. You're right. Chuka chakakti gzer gzarti is a double lashon. No, it's not double. What's referring to paraduma is the first words. Chuka chakakti. This is a chok. You know why I gave you this chok that doesn't make sense? Because gzeira gazarti, when you will live through an evil decree and you will start to have questions, no, ein lecha rishus lahar. The topic of today's shir is not understanding tragedy. I saw someone put out to understand the tragedy of Merkas Arav. But Jewish hashkafa is that we don't understand. Not understanding tragedy. So where does a Jew get the power to survive when there are so many questions? The answer is there's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is paraduma. And when a person practices the mitzvah, that has a hashpah on him. That has an influence on him. I'm doing a mitzvah which I don't understand. There's contradictions in the mitzvah. I'm doing it because Hashem commanded me. That's the only Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvayis of Tzivon. Hashem commanded me to do this mitzvah. You know why Hashem gave me the mitzvah where I don't understand it? To give me the strength that when gzeira gazarti, that when I experience, I live through, or other Jews that I know live through a terrible decree, I shouldn't have questions. Where do I get that strength? I get that strength from doing a mitzvah which I don't understand. We're not put in this world to understand everything. One day we'll understand. Rabbi Akiva and Moshe Rabbeinu did understand the mitzvah. We don't. That right now we have to do it without understanding. One day we will understand. But meanwhile, the gzeira gazarti, how do we survive this these terrible gzeiros? Only ein lecha rishus lahar. You have no way to understand it. And where do you get the strength from that? You get it from chukah chakakti, from the paraduma. So that's why it was given only to Elazar, not to Aaron. Why? Because Aaron, a day before the paraduma, he lost his two sons. And these, the same, like we asked the question, this is, Bishanichnas Adar Marbin Basimcha, Laihudim Isa Ayurav Basimcha Vasasa Vikar. Aaron went through his own Simcha. He put up the Mishkan with Moshe on Aleph Nissen, and the Chazal say this was a happy day, a joyous day, Kiyoim Shenivra Bashamayim Voretz. Like the day on which heaven and earth were created. The day that Hakamas HaMishkan, the Mishkan was put down here in this world, and the Shekhinah was coming into the Mishkan, was such a joyful day. It was like the joy of the beginning, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the beginning of the creation of heaven and earth. And on this day, Vayehi, Ein Vayehi Aloshen Tsar, wherever it says Vayehi Bimeach HaShreirosh, wherever it says Vayehi, it means tragedy. On this day, when Aaron HaKohen, who was bothered that he had a connection with the Egel, even though he didn't want to serve the Egel, but he was in some way responsible for creating the Egel, and Hashem said, you're forgiven? And Moshe Rabbeinu told him, why are you boish? Aaron was embarrassed. I'm going to be the Kohen Gadol in the Mishkan. Moshe said, "Lama Toboish, what are you about? Lekach Mitzarte, you were created to be the Kohen Gadol. Come close." So he was such joy, such ecstasy, and on that day, his two sons were taken away. The first deaths following the Chet HaEgel. So he could have had questions. What was Aaron's reaction? Vayidoim Aaron. He kept quiet. And the word Vayidoim comes from a domain. He was like a rock. Just like a rock has no feelings, no questions, no hirurim, that was Aaron. Vayidim, he was quiet, there was not a single thought. How could Hashem do this to me on this joyful day, such tragedy? On Purim, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, such tragedies that we just experienced? Vayidim Aaron. So Aaron did not need the lesson of the Paraduma. That's why the Pasuk says, V'nasato Yisrael Elazar HaKohen. Give it to Elazar. But Aaron, he already lives the message of the Paraduma. Memela, he doesn't need it. Now, why do we read the Paraduma in Golas? Says the Be'er Yosef. In fact, his son says on a footnote in the bottom, this will answer the question we started before from Rav Tzadok HaKohen. The question was, what is the purpose of reading the Paraduma today when we don't bring karbanis? We don't have to have tahara before. And really, we said it should have been chronologically. It should have been first Rosh Chodesh, first Parshas HaChodesh, then Parshas Paraduma. That's how it happened chronologically. So to answer the question, why we read it at all, the answer is because we're in Golus, and in Golus is a place where we have many questions. Until Mashiach comes, as long as Klal Yisrael is in Golus, we're going to have all kinds of unbelievable questions. Why did these tragedies happen? And on that, in order to strengthen our faith, we have to, this doesn't answer the question in order. That we're going to answer hopefully in a few minutes. But the question, why we read it entirely, the answer is we read it because we in Golus, we're not bringing karbonis. We don't have to be tohar to bring a korban, but we have to have the strength to withstand all the questions that could come up in Golus. The answer to the question is Par Aduma. Chuka Chakakti, I gave you a law which doesn't make sense. Why? Because Gzeira Gazarti, when I make an evil decree, which appears to you evil, Ein Lecha Rishus Lahar, you don't have a Rishus Lahar. The truth is, Rabbi Shlazik went into a very deep thing from the Sefer, Mea Shiloach. The truth is that in reality, I think one of the chief rabbis said this at the Levaya, or one of the Rashivas of Merkaz Harav, that in truth, in heaven, it's a moment of simcha. These tzaddikim, there's a story there of a Yemenite Jew. I don't know if you read the story, but unbelievable. They wouldn't accept him in the yeshiva, and he went in as a dishwasher, and then. One day he came to the Rashiva and he said, test me. And the Rashiva said, yeah, go back to the dishes. And then he insisted, and the Rashiva saw what he knew, and he said, you can no longer be a dishwasher, you're joining us in the yeshiva. And 3 weeks before he was nifter, at 29 years old, he finished Arba Chelke Shulchan Aruch, which people don't do in their entire lives. He finished the 10 massive volumes of Archaim, Yeridea, Chashmish, but Ebenezer. So in heaven, these neshamas, they come back to the source of light, of the Shechina. So it's a great moment of joy. But for us on the earth, it's a time of tsar.
Right. What about the concept of Gilgal? I mean, do we accept,
Not in this year.
Gilgal
is a... Gilgal is a thing which is Kabbalah, and the Knight of Yehuda says, "Ainly, I can speak about myself. Ainly Asik bin Astoris. I don't know about hidden things."
Also, like you said, for example, the Chassam Sofer said there are shy olamos. I mean, people go through, different. I mean, for the larger picture, different phases, different.
Right.
Tests.
Yeah. Okay. Erichanami. They're what?
They have two cows, the red cows.
Two red cows? They had in the history. They have now. Oh, they have now. Possibly that there is right now. Okay, let's just go further a little bit. Okay, there's a very nice shot that he brought down that it says, we learned in Parshas Chukas, you have the Misa of Miriam. And it says Miriam's death is put right next to the Par Aduma. What's the connection between Par Aduma and the death of Miriam? So this is the same connection. Because Moshe and Aaron didn't enter Eretz Yisrael because they did a chet with the main Meriva. Yan lo yamantim lagdisheni. It says in the Torah why they didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. But Rashi in Zoyis HaBracha asked, why didn't Miriam enter? We don't find that she wasn't involved with the chet of Moshe and Aaron. So the answer is, it's a gzeira. So that's the connection between Par Aduma and the death of Tzadikim. It says Miriam is the death of a Tzadik. Just like Par Aduma is mechaper on Klal Yisrael, forgives Klal Yisrael, for the Chet HaEgel. And by the way, we can see the connection between Par Aduma and the Chet HaEgel. The Rav Moshe Darshan says that it's like a cow with a calf. The calf made dirty. So who cleans up? The mother. So the Par Aduma, the cow, is mechaper on the chet ha'egel, says Rav Moshe Adarshan, on the calf, on the golden calf. So we learned what was the chet of the golden calf, that when the Jews saw that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down, they had a question. So what should have they have done? They should have asked the question by a gadol, what to do? Go to Aaron, ask him, what should we do? No, they didn't ask a question. They told Aaron, we want to have a leader, that led to the chet ha'egel. So the chet of the egel was... was relying on your own seichel, your own mind. The kapara is the paraduma, which the whole idea of the paraduma is don't rely on your own mind. Do something, devote your mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the connection between Misa Sadika Mechaperes. The Misa of Miriam forgives. Why? Because Misa Miriam, we don't understand why she did not go into Eretz. So we have to accept it as a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a decree from Hashem. And that's the connection with Paraduma, which again, we don't understand the idea of Paraduma. And that's how they're both related. That's how they're both Mechaper. Now, we asked the question, the main part of Paraduma we found is the water. The pasuk says, "Vizarakti alecha mayim tahirim." So what was the idea of the water? So he brought a medrash. The medrash says, on the pasuk, the water should gather together. Yikavu hamayim. So the medrash says, Rav Ado bar Kahana b'shem Rav Levi, Moshel lemelech shabana paltrin. A king built a palace. And he put in there dumb people, people who couldn't speak. And they used to get up whenever the king would come in, and they used to praise the king. How could dumb people who can't speak praise the king? They used to praise with their fingers, sign language, or with their hats. They would take off their hats and show different gestures to give honor to the king. So the king said to himself, if that's what dumb people can do, so if I'll put in people who could speak, they for sure will praise me. So he put in new people who could speak, and you know what they did? They said they changed the deed, and they made the deed that the palace belongs to them, and they said this isn't the king's palace anymore. They rebelled against the king. So the king saw this, he said, get back the dumb people, put them back in. So he said the same thing is, originally when Hashem created the world, Mikoylois Maim Rabim Adirim Mishbarayam, the sound of the oceans, the waves, what did the waves proclaim? Adir Bamorim Hashem. We say this in Davening on Friday night. So the waves can't speak, but the gestures that the waves of water make, that gives glory, Adir Bamorim Hashem, glorified in the high above is Hashem. So Hashem thought that if he'll create people, for sure they'll give him honor. So what happened? Amador Amabel Umorad Boy. The Dor Amabel rebelled. Amador Enosh Umorad Boy. They rebelled. Dor Afloga Umorad Boy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, get them out of here, bring back the water. So the water of the Mabul came back, that let's go back to the way it was. They praised me, the waters praised me, and they didn't. The Chinuch says, the purpose of Tahara in a mikveh is to get a person back to the beginning of the world. In other words, Vizarakti Alecha Mayim Tahirim. You get Tahara by the water. A man who has his das, he has his mind though can bring him to think that he owns the palace. That there's no Rabbeinu Shloilem. His mind could bring to great praise of Hashem, but his same mind can take him away from Hashem. So the thing that reminds him of how to do it properly is the waters. That's the Tahara in a mikvah of water, that we're going back to the way it was at the beginning when the praise of Hashem came through the water. Zorakti alecha mayim tahirim.
No, but the Adir
Bamar. Mikoylois mayim rabim adirim mishbarayam. The waves of the ocean are powerful. And what do they proclaim? Adir Bamorim Hashem. So that's why on Friday night we say Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. That's simple. Why do we say that? After L'chuna Rana. Because Shabbos, that part of Tehillim is about Shabbos. But what's the connection? The next part, we go on. Hashem Moloch Geyus Lovesh Lovesh. What is that all about? So at the end of Hashem Moloch, it says this pasuk. Mikoylois Maim Rabim Adir Mishbarayam Adir Bamorim Hashem. Because in Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, it ends off that lahagid ki yoshar Hashem tsuri, he's my rock, v'loy avlasa boy. There's no nothing ovel. There is nothing not correct with what Hashem does. Because what happens is, b'froyach rishorim k'may esev, the rishorim are going to be cut off like grass. La'ashmidim adayad, they're going to be destroyed. But tzadik katomar yifrach, that's what we say in Mizmor Shir Yom Shabbos. And as at the end we'll see justice of Hashem, what will happen to the Rishon, what will happen to the Tzadikim. So that's why we conclude with Hashem Moloch, that part, because in it we say, Mikoylois Mayim Rama, Adir Mishmer Yom, Adir Bamor Hashem. So the water is what, that's why the main part of the Parah Duma is the water which praises Hashem without Seichel. The whole theme of this shir is not understanding tragedy. We don't understand everything. Because a man with a seichel could lead him astray. That's why we say the Parsha of Parah Aduma before Parsha Achodesh. Because Parsha Achodesh is the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was given. So before, and if, I was thinking that this mitzvah involves what? Bezdin has to figure out the calculations. It's a very deep, complicated mathematical calculations. Should we make a leap year with another month? Should we not? So in that situation, a person with his mind can forget where this is all coming from. It's coming from Hashem. As I think it's the Sfas Emes says, Leiv Tor Broli Elokim. V'ruach nochon chadesh bekirbi. Ruach nochon is seichel. V'yipach ba'apav nishmas ruachayim. Hashem blew into the nostrils of man a living spirit, says the Targum, l'ruach memalala. A talking spirit. Seichel and speech come together. Before you get to the seichel, it has to be lev tor, brali alekim. Created me a pure heart. Represented by the water of the mikveh, as we explained. And as your heart has to not have questions, then you could use your seichel. Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. So that's why, lama parah is koidemes, shehi taros and shal yisrael. You know why Parah Aduma comes before hachodesh hazelachem? Because your approach to mitzvahs has to be that the message of the Parah Aduma, what's the main message? V'zorakti aleichem mayim torim. Like the waters, the mashal of the Medrash, the dumb people who were thanking the king. That's what we have to be in that sense. We have to be without questions. And now we understand the connection between Purim and Parah Aduma. Because if we remember, we had two shiurim about Purim. What's Purim? Mordechai, we brought the whole thing that a person shouldn't have his own ideas. He should ask Gedolim. He should subjugate his mind to the thinking of the Gedolim Yisrael. And certainly he should subjugate his mind to the thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the connection. You don't make a hefsek. You don't make a separation between Pur and Parah. They're connected. There's no Shabbos in between Purim and Parshas Parah. You go one to the other. The connection is the water, which represents believing in Hashem without thinking, without questioning. That's the connection between Purim and Parah. And Shloime Kluger says that a person who does this properly, he'll be zocha that in heaven, There is a Beis HaMikdash in heaven, and there is a Parah Aduma. We don't know how that works, but there is some kind of Parah Aduma with throwing waters of Tahara. So if a person incorporates this message in his daily life, he'll be zoicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower on him all the blessings that come as a result of the Parah Aduma. And Mimela, the main lesson is that when tragedy strikes, we have to know. Rabbi Akiva knew the reason. Moshe knew the reason. We don't know the reason. Why? To give us strength to perform mitzvahs without knowing everything and to accept tragedies even though we don't understand why they happened.